British Sky Broadcasting presents Buried Alive, starring Tim Matheson and Jennifer Jason Leigh. Audio described by Therese Birch on behalf of MCS Agency.
Wally, take a look at these. Well, yeah, I made some changes.
Clint Goodman, dark-haired and handsome, takes off his hard hat and picks up the phone in his construction company office. A large, beautiful, timber-clad house with a mountain backdrop. A tousle-haired blonde, Joanna Goodman, rolls over in bed.
Hi, leave a message at the beep and we'll get back to you.
Hi, honey, it's me. Too bad you're going away this weekend. I miss you already.
But I'll tell you what, why don't I knock off early? I'll come home for lunch and see you off. Okay? Love you.
Terrific.
Boss, you got a visitor.
Come in. Hope you don't mind me popping in like this.
Oh, no. I'm always glad to see you. Wally, give us a couple of minutes, will you? Have a seat.
Thanks.
Joanna, slim and attractive, walks out of the house in her dressing gown carrying a mug of coffee. A Rottweiler runs up and down in a wire pen. The house stands alone in open country. Joanna reaches inside the mailbox and pulls out some letters, looking grumpy.
Shut up!
The dog jumps up at the wire as she goes back into the house. Clint drives his truck down a country road. A police car follows him. He looks in his mirror and pulls over onto the dusty, hard shoulder. The police car stops behind him. A fat, elderly sheriff gets out of the car and swaggers up to Clint in his truck, carrying a baton.
Problem, Sheriff?
Well, there ain't but two people in this whole town worth going fishing with. I'm looking at one, you're looking at the other one. What's your weekend like?
I'm wide open. Joanna's heading in the city today, spending the night with a girlfriend, going shopping tomorrow.
Well, to make a night of it, too, let's get some fishing poles and sleeping bags and catch us some trout.
You've got it. I'll pick you up at 5. Oh, big hands on the 12, little hands on the 5. Can't miss it.
Clint drives off.
Slow it down!
Smiling, the sheriff shakes his head. Leaving a trail of dust, Clint drives up to his impressive grey and white house. It's sunny, the sky is cloudless. He parks next to the dog pen and gets out carrying his lunchbox.
What are you doing in there, dude? Nobody let you out?
He puts down his lunchbox, picks up a toy and lets the dog out. The dog jumps up playfully. He throws the toy for it. It runs after the toy. Clint picks up his lunchbox and walks up to the house.
Patsy, scatter those flowers. Honey, I'm home. Honey?
Joanna is painting her nails.
Didn't you get my message?
Yes, but I have a doctor's appointment at 2, and then I'm meeting Maggie, and if I don't head into the city now, I'll never make it, so...
Well, guess I'll just have to fend for myself.
She mouths, I guess so.
Oh, that's okay. But, if you try to call me tonight and I'm not here, I want you to know the truth. Sam and I are going fishing.
She smiles weakly. He takes a mouthful of a sandwich he's taken from the fridge. She watches.
The knife's been invented.
He looks at her and leans over playfully.
Well, you'll never guess who came by again today. Bill Scorby made another offer. $1.5 million. Boy, he's persistent. I'll say that about him. You know, if he wasn't so damn sleazy, I kind of find it flattering.
It's an awful lot of money, sweetheart. I mean, maybe we should consider it, huh?
I would sooner sell the business to the dog. Besides, who's looking for a buyer? What would we do if we sold the business?
We'd get the hell out of here. We could go back to New York. You ever think about that?
Joanna.
You ever think of just taking your old job back?
Wait a second.
Do you ever think about me?
I have done nothing but think about you. You think I left you alone in New York for 5 summers and traveled 2,000 miles so I could come here and fish? No, I built this house for us. This was our dream house, remember?
Away from all that craziness, quiet, fresh air, a place where we could raise our kids.
Clint, we've been trying for over a year and a half, and I'm still not pregnant.
We'll just keep trying. It'll happen.
I want out of here.
Joanna, we had an agreement. You said you'd give this town a chance. Come on, this is where I grew up. This is my home. I want this to be our home. I built this house because I love you.
This? You know what this is? One big maze, and I'm the rat.
Don't make it sound like I dragged you here.
Well, that's how it feels, sweetheart. I have to go. Have a fun date.
She puts down her cigarette and picks up her bag and leaves. Clint leans on the kitchen counter. He puts out her cigarette in the ashtray, looking thoughtful. She reverses out of the garage in a bright blue sports car. Clint goes over to the window to watch her leave. He looks distraught and shuts his eyes. Clint and Sam the sheriff are in a boat fishing in the middle of a lake.
You know, we don't do this enough anymore.
No, we don't.
So how are things on the home front?
Oh, you're okay.
Forget I ask, it's none of my business.
Well, you know, Joanna, she grew up in the city. So the transition hadn't been easy for her, but she's trying. That's enough for now. Does that answer your question?
Yep. You know, I can't tell you how surprised we were to see you come back. Or how glad we were.
Sure.
I mean that.
Well, New York City, 10 years. Hell, the only wood I could get my hands on was a pencil between my fingers. I had to come back. She'll come around, Sam. I know she will.
I hope so.
Brightly colored fish in a tank. Next to it, a bed. Joanna lies on top of a man.
You and me together will own 20% of the most exclusive clinic on Beverly Hills. You'll be on a first-name basis with every movie star, producer, and CEO in town. All of them with substance abuse problems. All of them willing to pay me $500 for an office visit.
They kiss passionately.
I'll leave him. I'll get a divorce.
Joanna, you'll have been a year in court. Maybe more. And who's to say what you wind up with? This clinic's a cash machine just waiting for us to plug into it. You want that as much as I do. I know you do.
Clint, please.
Look, maybe you loved Clint once, but you wound up there. Redneck County, USA, sitting on the front porch watching the possums puke. It's not what you deserve, is it?
No.
I can make this happen. All it takes is money, and it's easier than you think.
How easy?
Did you enjoy your dinner tonight?
Yes.
Did you notice anything missing in the aquarium?
She sits up and looks at the tank.
We ate one of those.
In the Orient, these are a great delicacy. They're extremely difficult to prepare. If I'd made the tiniest slip, we wouldn't be allowed to talk about it. I extracted this from the ovaries of the fish we ate. This is a toxin.
He hands her a little bottle.
How does it work?
The recipient has a cardiac arrest. Quick and clean. It's almost tasteless. You can put it in his food, you can put it in a drink, whatever.
I never knew murder could be so pure.
Pure. I like that.
Morning. Dressed, Joanna leaves Cortland's bedroom, opening her handbag. He follows with the bottle.
Make sure he takes all of it. Understand? All of it.
He drops it in her bag.
I can't do this. You're asking too much. I won't.
You don't mean that.
I'm sorry.
She kisses him and turns to leave. He looks nonplussed.
So am I. I only wanted what was best for you, Joanna.
Will I see you again?
I don't think that would be fair to either of us. Do you?
No.
I hope it all works out for you, Joanna. I really do.
She puts on her sunglasses shakily.
Okay.
Okay.
Impassively, he watches her leave his luxurious apartment, carrying a suitcase, wearing a smart blue suit. She speeds away in her sports car. She enters her kitchen, puts down her case, and goes through her handbag. She turns it out on the counter. Some items fall on the floor. The bottle lies on its side on the floor, a couple of drops on the tiles. She picks up the bottle, walks over to the bin, and buries it in the rubbish. Inside, it drips dark fluid. Nighttime. Clint pulls up in his truck next to the dog run.
Honey, I'm home.
He carries his fishing box into the empty kitchen.
Joanna?
Upstairs.
He jogs up the staircase.
Honey, gotta see all this trout. I'm talking dinner for days.
He enters the bedroom. She sits on the end of the bed, smiling, wearing sexy underwear. He stands in front of her. She undoes his shirt.
Dinner can wait. Can it?
I think so.
She pushes up his t-shirt and kisses his stomach as she gets to her feet. He pulls off his t-shirt. They kiss in the dimly lit bedroom. He lies on top of her on the bed.
I love you.
He tenderly kisses her neck. Dressed, she seasons the contents of a roasting tin.
Well, here I was ready to roll up my sleeves. Clean us up.
Well, I thought we'd have steak tonight. I had fish last night.
She looks guilty.
You need any help?
No, that's okay.
He caresses the back of her neck.
Well, I'll be at the workshop.
He leaves. She puts the foil-lined roasting tin in the oven and turns it on. In the workshop, he puts on gloves and picks up some timber. He puts on safety goggles. She chops cucumber. Irritated by the noise, she clamps a hand to her head, pushing back her hair. She reaches for a wine bottle and pours herself a drink. She has a sip and looks over at the bin. She puts down her glass and pours another drink. She mops up a spillage and has another sip, looking over at the bin again. Nervously looking over her shoulder, she approaches the bin. She leans over it, searching through the rubbish, her hair falling over her face. She extracts the bottle and holds it up. She carries it over to the wine glasses and removes the stopper. Her hand shakes. She holds the bottle over the sink. She looks unsure. Suddenly, she empties it into one of the wine glasses.
Ah, smells bad.
You scared me.
I'm sorry.
Oh, did it again.
She looks aghast as he carries the glasses over to the table. He cuts into a piece of steak. She watches, looking pale. He looks over at her.
Now, you didn't cook all this food just for me.
Oh, I don't know where my appetite went.
I want to propose a toast.
What?
A toast.
She looks down at her full glass.
Sweetheart, you know, I had some wine earlier and I'm just not feeling very well.
Joanna, just toast with me, please.
He holds her hand.
Come on.
Yeah.
She picks up the glass.
To you, Joanna. Every time I look at you, I don't know how I got so lucky.
He looks at his glass. She puts down hers. He squeezes her hand, shaking.
Sweetheart. Honey, please. You're hurting my hand.
He squeezes his glass until it shatters. He throws back his head in agony, then collapses, knocking over the table. She backs away, horrified, into a corner. He crawls on his hands and knees over to her.
Help me!
He pulls her down, pouring at her. She tries to free herself from his bloody grasp.
Die! Please just die!
He looks up at her.
Damn you, die! Die!
He slumps to the floor over her lap. She looks down, his blood on her chest, breathing heavily. She roughly pushes him off and crawls over to the phone, looking disgusted.
Me.
Joanna.
It's done.
What?
It's done.
I see. Now listen, just stay calm. You've already done the right thing.
What's that?
You called your doctor. I'll take it from here.
She nods, looking traumatized.
Right.
She hangs up, shaking. She looks at the blood on her chest. She gets up. Clint lies lifeless on the floor. She looks in the mirror, wearing a robe. She pushes back her damp hair. She looks at her hand, then nervously in the direction of the siren. Clint is on a stretcher on the kitchen floor in a body bag. It's zipped up. Sam looks down, sadly shaking his head. He goes over to Cortland, who's writing.
Don't seem right. A man in his prime having a heart attack. I don't understand it.
A case like this is always a shock. But they have it more often than you know. Man is healthy.
He notices the bottle on the floor.
Man is seemingly healthy, as Mr. Goodman seldom exhibits symptoms beforehand.
To the horror of Cortland and Joanna, Sam nearly treads on the bottle.
Just such a waste.
Oh, God.
What?
Oh, the dog. Can somebody please make that dog shut up?
He's just upset like all of us, Joanna. I'll take him off your hands if you like, until things settle down. Coroner?
Sam puts his arms around the coroner and Cortland.
What about an autopsy?
I don't think that's necessary, but
I'll defer to the coroner.
I see no reason for it, Sam.
Cortland and Joanna look horrified as Sam nearly treads on the bottle again. Cortland tries to distract him.
Sheriff.
What?
Death certificate.
We're just about done here now, Sam.
All right.
Sam signs the death certificate.
I'm truly sorry about this, Joanna.
Thank you, Sam. That means a lot.
Sam turns to go, leaving Cortland and Joanna alone. Cortland picks up the bottle.
Made it all sound so neat and simple.
Joanna, keep your voice down.
It wasn't. It took forever. It was horrible. You should have seen him.
Look, Joanna, this is a very tense moment for the both of us. But let's just get a grip here, all right? We can't afford to get sloppy now. We have a ways to go before we're out of the woods.
It's over. It's done.
You have business arrangements. You have a funeral. You have a wake.
No. No wake.
Joanna.
Not after what I've been through tonight.
Clint's body is loaded into an ambulance. The coroner talks to Sam.
You gonna be all right?
Huh? Oh, yeah, fine. Thanks, Tom.
They shake hands. The coroner leaves. Sam looks over to the house. Through the open door, he watches Cortland and Joanna talking.
You've got to relax. You've got to keep it together. And you've got to think straight. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
I love you, baby. And we'll get through this somehow, okay?
Sam leans in the doorway.
And if there's anything else that you need, Mrs. Goodman, anything at all, feel free to call me any time of the day or night. That is what I'm here for.
Thank you, Doctor.
You're very welcome.
Cortland rushes out past Sam, who stands aside.
Joanna, Helen and I are here for you. Anything you need, all right?
Thank you, Sam.
Sam shuts the door and approaches Cortland in the garden.
That girl is very distraught. She's devastated.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you handled yourself very well in there, if you don't mind my saying so.
Not at all, thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
Cortland leaves. Sam watches the coroner's car as it drives away. The ambulance follows. He walks over to the dog's pen, past his police car, as Cortland drives off.
Oh, stop it. I mean it now. Come on, dude.
Sam opens the pen and leads the dog over to the police car.
Come on, this way. Thank you.
It's dark. Sam sits in his kitchen drinking beer. His wife comes in.
Oh, Sam, it's late. Come to bed.
In a minute.
She puts the light on.
You shouldn't be drinking beer at this hour. You'll be in and out of the bathroom all night long.
I'm drinking half a bottle. Might have me sleep. Split it with me.
Well, I take a sip.
Take two.
She takes a swig.
You know, I was just thinking about the way he was after his parents died. Damn pimply kid getting into trouble.
You set him straight.
Sure did. I put the fear I got into that boy. Turned out to be a fine young man. Sometimes life just comes along and kicks you when you don't expect it and just knocks the wind right out of you.
She rubs his shoulder.
I just can't believe that he's gone.
Sam shakes his head sadly. A metal door marked refrigeration room. Inside, in the dark, bodies on trolleys, side by side. A black body bag reflects the dim blue light. The head end of the body bag moves. It's light. A hand unzips the bag. Clint's pale face is exposed, eyes shut.
Well, there he is, bagged and tagged. Now he's got to be pumped and dumped.
The boy looks sick.
First day jitters? Well, you'll get used to it. After a while, they all look the same. Stiff. Well, help me peel him.
The funeral director's office.
Quentin Funeral Home, Quentin speaking. Yes, Dr. Van Owen, how can I be of service?
He picks up a clipboard.
Are you sure? People often regret that decision later.
Be that as it may, Mrs. Goodman is very specific. She does not want to wake.
Now, first, you got to get familiar with the tools. Now, this here little sharp knife, this is a scalpel. Now, over here, we have the Porter Fluid Injection System, manufactured in Urbana, Illinois. Now, this little baby pumps the embalming fluid in through this hose, right here, while we drain the blood out through this hose, right here. You ever change the oil on your car?
Uh-huh.
Same thing.
The undertaker reaches for a bottle of embalming fluid and pours it into the machine. The boy wets his lips nervously. The undertaker glances over at him, finishes pouring, then picks up a scalpel, leaning over Clint.
Now, stay with me, boy. Now, the big artery is right here. Reflex action. Happens all the time.
You sure?
Hell, I once had one set bolt upright on me trying to go for coffee.
Clint's head turned and eyes opened.
Now, we just make the incision right here.
He slices into Clint's neck. The boy faints.
Ah, hell.
Earl, never mind the juice. This one goes in the ground this afternoon. Next of kin went cheap on us. No weight, no frills. They even sent over their own suit to bury him in. Here's that pine casket in the workshop.
The water-damaged one?
Sure, just slap a coat of varnish on it. Why waste a showroom model? We're not going to make diddly squat on this job anyway. How's that new kid working out?
Fine. Just fine.
The boy's flat out on the floor. The undertaker wheels a scruffy-looking coffin through the store. He opens the lid. He yanks out the grey lining, exposing the cracked wood. A can of wood filler rests on the lid. He's rubbing down the wood. He blows the dust off. The funeral.
May the Lord cleanse our departed brother in repentance, for as the good book says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. We now commend Clint Goodman's soul to Almighty God. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust, dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return.
The vicar looks at Joanna. She gets up from her seat holding a rose. Sam has the dog on a lead. Joanna tiptoes forward and places the rose on the coffin. Sam tries to settle the dog. Joanna sobs in the arms of an old lady. Cortland looks on as Joanna dabs her nose with a handkerchief and is helped away. Sam watches Cortland. Still in his funeral suit, Sam pulls up in his police car outside Joanna's house next to the dog run. He gets out and opens the run. He opens the back door of the car. The dog runs into the pen, picking up a toy bone. It's night time. Lightning flashes over the house. Joanna and Cortland are in a bubble bath drinking champagne.
I want to make a toast.
No toast.
Come on, I want to make a toast. Come on. To my beautiful darling, the grieving widow. What a performance. Here.
Cheers.
Who was that old lady that you threw your arms around in a paroxysm of grief? Who was that?
Oh, I have no idea.
The dog paces the run in the pouring rain. Cortland kisses Joanna in the bath. She looks annoyed.
Oh, that's it. Had it with that dog.
Dog? Forget the dog.
Putting on his Mac, she runs downstairs, grabs a shotgun from inside the cellar door, and loads it.
Is that a gun?
Well, it ain't a can of Alpo.
She goes out into the storm, followed by Cortland in a robe.
What are you doing?
Oh, Daddy! Oh, what a good boy!
She shoots at the gate of the pen. It opens. The dog runs off into the night.
Down!
Are you nuts?
They run indoors. She throws herself onto the bed.
Crazy.
He takes off his robe and kneels over her. The dog walks purposefully through the cemetery. The headstones are illuminated by flashes of lightning. He walks up to Clint's grave and lies down on the mud in the pouring rain, his head resting on his paws. Below the rain-soaked earth, Clint lies motionless in his suit, arms crossed, eyes shut, in the darkness of his coffin. His eyes open. He blinks and looks around. He raises his hand to wipe away the muddy rain that drips on his face. His mouth opens. He reaches up with his arms. He pushes up at the lid. It bends. He lies in the coffin, mouth wide open, hands raised. He looks around desperately, pushing at the lid with both hands. He grimaces with the effort. Muddy rain drips on his face. He clenches his fists against the lid. His face is spattered with mud. He manages to punch his fist through the lid. Wet earth pours down through the hole onto his chest. Blinking and grimacing with the effort, mouth open, gasping for air, Clint pushes his arm through the lid and up through the earth.
Go. Go!
The mud on top of the grave moves. The dog pricks up his ears, staring at the earth. It stands up. Clint grits his teeth. His hand emerges through the mud, fingers outstretched. Clint turns onto his front, kneeling, using his back to force open the lid. Arms flailing, he emerges through the earth in front of the headstone. The dog backs away nervously. Plastered in mud, mouth wide open, Clint looks around. Reaching around for the gravestone, Clint uses it to haul himself out of the ground. He stands up, swaying unsteadily. He starts walking slowly, stiff-legged, through the graves, bent over, clutching his chest, followed by the dog. He collapses to his knees. Joanna opens the fridge.
What do you got?
We have boring chicken.
No.
Strawberries.
Oh, yeah.
Staggering, bent over, Clint stumbles in the torrential rain up to his front door. It's locked. He collapses, leaning against it. He gets to his feet, gripping a pillar on the veranda for support. He goes to the kitchen window, leaning with his muddy hands on the glass. He watches Joanna feeding strawberries to Cortland and kissing him. She sees Clint's muddy face and hands pressed up against the window. He ducks down.
There's someone at the window.
Cortland looks out.
It's the dog.
What?
It's the dog.
Dog.
The garage door opens. Cortland drives out in his Mercedes. Clint is crouching behind his truck. The garage door is closing. Clint stumbles painfully towards it. It shuts just before he can get in. He lies on the ground in front of the door. He kicks the glass out of the basement window and awkwardly slides in. He gets to his feet and stumbles over to the wooden staircase. He puts the light on. His hands are bloody. He is still plastered in mud. He falls down, looking up the stairs to the door at the top. He crawls on all fours round to the underside of the staircase and lies there, shaking. Joanna is in her lawyer's office, wearing black.
There are no liens or claims on your joint assets, Mrs. Goodman. This contains your husband's crucial documents, bank accounts, CDs, and so forth. Now, as to the disposition of the business...
I believe there's a Mr. Bill Scorby interested in buying it.
Yes, I know Bill. If you want, I'll give him a call right now.
Please. I understand that his offer stands at $1.5 million. I'm willing to accept if payment can be made within 48 hours. In cash.
Wearing a hat and dark glasses, she draws on a cigarette, smiles, and dabs her nose with a handkerchief. Daylight. Clint wakes up in the basement with a start.
Okay.
He looks at his bloodied hands. He crawls on all fours to the foot of the staircase. He painfully heaves himself up the stairs. Dishevelled, his suit torn and muddy, he staggers through the basement door into the kitchen. He lurches towards the sink, turns on the tap, and puts his mouth under the flow. He turns off the tap and looks over at the fridge. He goes over to the fridge, opens it, pulls the foil off a chicken, and gnaws at it like an animal. Mouth full, he walks over to the window. The blue sports car approaches. Joanna drives into the garage. Clint goes to the entrance of the basement. With painful hands, he awkwardly grabs the gun and some ammunition. He drops the box of bullets. Joanna enters the kitchen and, confused, shuts the fridge door. Clint creeps down the cellar stairs. He tries to pick up a bullet, but knocks it down the stairs. Joanna enters the bedroom and puts a box on the bed. Clint kneels on the cellar floor and picks up the bullet. Joanna takes a blue shirt and trousers from the closet and goes into the bathroom. With painful hands, Clint loads the gun with difficulty. He gets to his feet. He staggers towards the stairs and cocks the gun.
Honey, I'm home.
Joanna has changed and is in the bathroom brushing her hair. Clint is in the hall at the foot of the stairs looking around. He leaves the hall. She comes downstairs. She goes to the front door. Clint trains his gun on her.
Sam.
Just thought I'd stop by and see how you're doing.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Would you like to come in?
Thanks, I can't stay long, though.
Can I get you something to drink, some coffee?
No, thanks, but I wouldn't turn down something cold.
How about a beer?
Not while I'm on duty, but thanks anyway.
Clint hides behind a door.
I have soda. Do you want diet?
Why bother?
Oh, I didn't mean it.
She opens the fridge and sees the gnawed chicken.
I didn't mean anything.
No problem, I'm used to it. You know, I remember when Clint was building this house. Did it with his bare hands. He had a real relationship with wood, that man. Sometimes I think he was happiest when he was picking splinters out of his fingers. I noticed the for sale sign out front.
Oh, the place just seems so big now that Clint's gone. Just too many memories.
I hear you're selling the business, too.
I wouldn't know the first thing about running a business.
I think you're doing the right thing. I'm sure Clint would have wanted to see it go to Bill.
Oh, well, I like to think so. I mean, Clint always spoke so highly of Bill.
So you'll be leaving town? We'll miss you.
Sam looks at the muddy kitchen window where Clint had been.
That rainstorm really kicked up some mud last night.
Joanna stares out of the window.
Yes, it did.
Cortland gets out of his car, carrying a medical bag. Sam and Joanna come out of the front door.
Sheriff, you're making me look bad. You're spending more time with my patient than I am.
I wouldn't know about that, Doc. I better say goodbye. I've got to be on my way.
Sam leaves. Joanna and Cortland go into the house. Cortland puts down his bag and goes to the window, watching Sam look over his shoulder as he leaves.
Cort.
Clint is crouching behind the banister. He opens his gun. He has only one bullet in it. He looks exasperated. Clutching the gun, he goes back to the cellar and down the steps.
So, what did the sheriff have to say?
He asked me all kinds of questions. When am I leaving town? Am I selling the house?
I see. Did you thank him for his concern?
He even knew I was selling the business 2 hours after I walked out of the lawyer's office. Let's leave tonight.
Honey.
Right now.
Hey, you're shaking. If you're worried about that country boy with a badge, don't be.
I mean it, Court. I cashed out all the accounts today. Let's just go.
The real money comes tomorrow when you sell the business. We need that money for the clinic.
Court, please.
Now look, you listen to me. All you have to do is hang in with me one more night. And before you know it, we'll be in Beverly Hills sipping margaritas by the pool.
Did we do the right thing?
We did the only thing. All he ever saw in you was flapjacks and babies. Horse getting you pregnant was probably the best thing he ever did. If it wasn't for that, you never would have come into my life. And I took care of that problem for you, didn't I?
Yes.
Like I'm gonna take care of all of your problems from now on. You know it, right?
Clint looks anguished as he overhears the conversation from the cellar. He opens the gun. With bloody fingers, he removes the bullets. It's night time. The house is dark. Joanna is alone in bed asleep with the bedside light on. Clint opens her sewing box in the hall. He takes out a large pair of scissors. He carries them upstairs, holding onto the banister for support. His hands are covered in blood. He pauses in the bedroom doorway, then goes in and stands over Joanna. He notices a glass of whiskey and pills on the bedside table. He gently brushes back a strand of her hair. He turns off the lamp. Switching on the light, he goes into the bathroom and shuts the door. clean, bare-chested, with wet hair. He holds up a piece of gauze in front of the mirror and cuts a piece off. He picks up a bottle of hydrogen peroxide and empties it into the basin with his lacerated hand. He looks exhausted. He pushes a flannel into his mouth. He plunges his hands into the peroxide, then sinks to his knees in agony, screwing up his eyes. He removes his hands from the blood-stained peroxide and spits out the flannel, resting his head on the edge of the basin, grimacing. His hands bandaged, dressed, he goes downstairs. He stops and looks around on the stairs. He puts on a pair of gloves as he continues down. Joanna stirs in bed, looks at her watch, then sleepily goes down to the door in her robe.
Mrs. Goodman, I believe we have an appointment.
Bill opens a metal case containing $1.5 million.
Would you like to count it?
No. I'm sure it's all there.
Mrs. Goodman, I just want to say how bad I feel about Clint's passing. Getting the business this way.
She runs her fingers over the money.
I'm sorry, what?
You'll get over it, dear. Just takes time.
He pats her hand.
Oh, yes. Can I see you out? Thank you. Bye.
She shuts the door and skips over to the case, picks it up, and runs upstairs smiling.
Yes.
The whole damn thing's a disgrace. First, that wife of his puts him under pretty damn quick. We didn't even have time to embalm him. And now this.
This is how I found it. I didn't touch a thing.
Sam and the undertaker stand by the disturbed grave.
What happened here?
I don't know, Sheriff. Looks to me like somebody dug him up.
Sam shines a torch in the hole.
Judas Priest.
This could ruin me overnight if word got out. Is there any way we could keep this quiet?
Dig up the coffin and take it to my home, not to the station. Then come back and fill the hole in, cover it all up. And don't breathe a word of this to anybody. I don't want any questions till after I finish my investigation. You understand?
It's a hell of a thing when they start stealing bodies right out of the ground. Now, who'd do a thing like this? That's what I'd like to know.
So would I.
Still in her robe, smiling, Joanna sits on the bed, transferring money and documents into the metal case from the black box the lawyer gave her. She tosses the box into a trunk. She goes into the bathroom. Her face drops. There is mud all over the floor and dirty towels on the side of the bath. She rushes to the door and shuts herself in. She paces nervously. She looks down at the floor and folds her arms. She slowly walks over to the door and leans against it, listening. She opens it a crack and looks out. She goes into the bedroom and picks up a poker from the hearth. She grabs the phone and squats by the bed.
Hello?
I need you over here right now.
Doctor's not in. But if you leave a message at the sound of the beep, I'll return your call as soon as possible. Bye for now.
Cortland, pick up the phone. Someone's been in the house. You may still be here.
Cortland's in the shower.
You better be on your way. Please, Cortland. Get the gun.
Holding the poker in both hands, she goes downstairs, looking around nervously.
Duke. You're a very good dog. Stay.
She backs towards the cellar door and reaches in for the gun.
Okay. You just stay there.
She loads it.
Well, Joanna, close your raggedy ass to the rain.
A figure in a welding mask appears. She shoots him and is sent flying back down the cellar steps from the kickback. Looking down from the cellar door, the figure lifts the mask. It's Clint. Smoke comes from his bulletproof vest. She lies motionless on the cellar floor. He shuts the door. While she lies unconscious, he is outside, hammering boards over the windows, shutting out the light. Cortland is in his modern apartment getting dressed. He looks at the fish tank.
There are my beautiful girls, huh? Oh, you love your daddy, don't you? Yes, you do. And your daddy love you.
So...
Wearing rubber gloves, he draws off poison into a syringe from a dissected fish.
One more for the road. You... I wouldn't know it, but I'm a kind of poet, and I've got a lot of things to say.
He caps the syringe. He picks up his medical bag. Walking to the door, he notices a light on his answer phone.
Dr. Van Owen, you are now 6 months behind on the rent, and you've ignored 3 eviction notices. I'm coming by on Monday with a federal marshal and a court order to have you physically removed from the premises. I'm sorry, but you've left me no choice in this matter.
He picks up his coat and leaves.
Cortland, pick up the phone. Someone's been in the house. You may still be here. You better be on your way.
It's dark. Cortland pulls up outside the house and gets out. He goes up to the front door and lets himself in, smiling.
Joanna?
He looks around.
Joanna, darling?
He pulls the syringe out of his coat pocket and takes the cap off. He looks up the stairs.
Joanna?
He goes up. On the cellar floor, she stirs. He enters the bedroom and looks at the case of money on the bed.
Hey, babe.
He opens the bathroom door, syringe in hand, and looks at the mess.
It never would have worked, darling. Too much of a slob.
He shuts the case and carries it out. Joanna opens her eyes and lifts her head.
Oh. Ow.
She sits up.
Ow.
Joanna? Joanna?
Cortland?
It's time we had a little talk.
She notices the gun on the stairs.
I'd rather blow your brains out.
She struggles up the stairs, then pauses as the door is opened a crack. Cortland comes down the stairs carrying the case and notices the cellar door ajar. He pauses in the hall.
Joanna?
He goes into the cellar.
Joanna, you can come out now.
She's hiding under the stairs.
Heart. I'm starting to get real annoyed here.
She picks up a metal pipe and smashes it over his head. He falls to the ground, dropping the syringe. It rolls away. She runs up the stairs with the case. The figure in the mask appears at the top of the stairs and shuts the door. She drops the case.
No! No!
Clint comes through the front door carrying timber. In the cellar, Joanna looks up, prompted by the sound of footsteps above. She looks over at Cortland, who is stirring, and leans over him.
Oh.
Oh. I'm sorry.
Ow!
Are you all right?
Are you crazy? Ow! Why did you hit me?
I thought you were... When you came down here, I thought...
What?
I thought you were... Him...
Somebody in the house.
She nods.
Who is it?
I don't know. But he's locked us down here.
Did you see him? What did it look like?
He was wearing a mask, like a welder's thing. I couldn't see his face. I think I shot him. Maybe he's wounded.
Cortland gets to his feet, looking up.
Sounds pretty healthy to me.
She stands up.
He's moving the furniture.
You plan so carefully, every last detail. And then some lunatic comes along and starts playing interior decorator. Joanna, who did you tell?
I didn't tell anybody.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure. What do you think? I took an ad out in the paper. I thought that was you.
You thought that... You thought that I came to hurt you? Joanna!
How could you think that? I love you.
I'm sorry.
You're sorry?
He picks up the case of money.
Want me to burn this? I'll burn it, right now.
What are you talking about?
I'll burn the whole thing. Everything I did for you. I love you. Joanna, hell, I die for you.
Oh, sweetheart. I didn't know. I didn't know. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all right. It's all right.
What are we going to do?
We're going to get out of here. Right now.
They run upstairs. Cortland picks up the gun.
All right. Stand back. Stand back. Stand back. Come on.
He loads it and shoots at the door. Nothing happens.
Wait.
He tries the handle.
What is it?
He checks the bullets.
These are blanks.
What?
They're blanks. Somebody's cut off the ends and poured out the pellets. These are nothing but gunpowder and air. Who are you? All right.
They go downstairs with the gun.
Oh, that's clever. Very clever. Now hold me. About 30 seconds.
He takes off his coat and uses the butt of the gun to knock out the wood from the window. He reaches up to the gap, but the dog is outside.
Yeah, they took my face off.
Stuck down here.
Oh, this is great. This is just great. We've got Jason upstairs and Cujo in the front yard, and I'm having a real good time.
You've got a serious attitude problem, pal! Talk to me!
Upstairs, Clint, wearing goggles and carrying a chainsaw, is surrounded by timber. He looks at his wedding photo on the wall.
Honey, you don't like the house? I can always remodel.
Cortland and Joanna look up. Clint soars through the photo and the plasterboard wall. He knocks through the wall with a sledgehammer. All the lights are on in the house. Cortland wakes Joanna, who's asleep on the floor. She looks up.
How long have we been down here?
Oh, about 8 hours. Feels like a month. I have this figured out. I know who it is.
Who?
It sounds far-fetched. You won't believe this.
Who?
Your redneck sheriff.
Sam?
Who else could it be? Who else could have figured it out?
Why hasn't he arrested us?
You don't get it. There isn't going to be an arrest. He wants a piece. Maybe he wants a whole damn pie. I underestimated him. He's not as dumb as he looks. But it's gonna cost him.
What do you mean?
I'm going to rip out his heart and jam it down his throat. And I'm going to laugh when he chokes on it. Yes, indeed. I'm going to rip his heart out with my bare hands. And I'm going to enjoy that. Because sooner or later, he's going to have to open that door. And he's going to have to make his terms known. And whatever they are, I'll agree to them.
Nice and friendly. Big smile on my face. Cooperating every inch of the way. Happy to do business with you. Whatever you want, pal. Whatever you say. Just name it. It's yours. No problem here. And when we're finally feeling all warm and chummy, and he gets close enough to take that money,
I'm going to beat him to death with a shotgun. And then I'm going to dance out of here as free as you please.
I'd like you to burn the money now.
She's found the syringe.
What are you talking about?
Prove how much you love me. Burn it all right now. You were ready to do it before.
This is our ticket out of here. Think for a moment.
You love me?
Yes, I love you.
You die for me?
You know I would.
Here's your chance, you bastard.
Hey, now. Wait a minute here.
You had this plan from the start, didn't you? It was never about me. You used me. Now you want that clinic deal all to yourself.
There never was a clinic, you dumb bitch.
He picks up the gun.
No, baby. I'm booked on a one-way flight to the tropics. I'm going to sit on the beach earning 18% while I diddle the locals. And maybe, just maybe, I'll get off for a change.
She lunges at him. They fall to the floor. She drops the syringe. It rolls away. They fight to reach it, stretching out their arms. He grabs it, straddles her, and holds the syringe over her.
Come here. I'm not going to lie to you, darling. This is really going to hurt.
Holding the syringe, he looks up to see the door open. So does she.
Well, you going to waste that on me?
No. It's for him.
Good.
He looks up at the door. Together, they climb the stairs. He carries the case. They pause at the top.
Go on.
What?
Go on.
Go.
Come on. Come on, come on.
You make me sick.
She slowly goes through the door. He follows into the gloomy hall.
Looks like we're going to work this thing out. Go in the dining room, turn on the light.
She feels her way forward, but comes up against a wooden partition.
It's not here.
The light?
The dining room.
He steps forward and pats the partition. He feels his way along till he can go no further.
The front door was here, wasn't it?
Yes.
Look, I can tell that you're not ready to discuss this seriously, so I tell you what, you let me know when you are ready and we'll be in the basement.
Another partition slides across. It's pitch dark. She ignites her cigarette lighter and walks around to check the walls. They are enclosed in a wooden cell.
Look, we're here to negotiate in good faith, and you're making me angry.
A door slides open.
Fine. We'll sit in the living room, sit on the couch, put our feet up, discuss this man to man.
They walk out into a narrow, wood-lined corridor. Holes in the sides let in some light. Shocked, they look at each other. Sam and his wife are asleep in bed. He stirs. He wakes suddenly and jumps out of bed as if he's had an idea. In his dressing gown, he goes into his workshop, putting on the light. He walks over to the coffin and taps the lid. He opens it and leans over it, shaking his head. He studies the hole in the lid that Clint climbed through. He tries punching a hole in the lid. It's paper thin. He straightens up, looking thoughtful. He peers through the hole he's made and nods. Cortland and Joanna creep down the corridor. She's still holding her lighter. At the end, it's blocked off by a wooden partition. They push at it, then turn back. As they reach the other end, a partition slides across, sealing them in. She sinks to the floor. He goes up to the other end, lashing out with the case.
Stop it. Just stop it!
What?
I said stop it.
A shadow passes one of the holes. He peers out.
Hey! Hey, look. Let's go 50-50 here, huh, pal? What do you say? Doesn't get any fairer than that. Come on, talk to me! Please? Look, she's the one you want. She killed him.
It was his idea!
Shut up.
You didn't have the guts to do your own dirty work. You filthy coward!
That's it!
A partition slides across, separating them.
Cort! Cort!
On Cortland's side, an opening appears.
Cort!
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's clever. That's very clever. Cut her out entirely. I mean, it's my thinking exactly. Fine. All right.
He walks out into another corridor with a window at the end. A figure stands by it.
That window sure is a sweet sight. I don't mind telling you. I bet I know how to buy my way through it.
He moves forward, holding out the case.
Well, here it is. 50-50. Well, 60-40.
He grips the syringe in his hand.
70-30. It doesn't get fairer than that, you know. I tell you what. It's yours. Every dime. Okay? I mean, this is it. This is my final offer.
I just want out of here, Sam. Okay? Please. Sam.
Clint steps out of the shadows.
Keep it.
Cortland drops the case, turns, and falls face down. He slowly pushes himself up and looks down at his chest. The syringe is sticking in it. He pulls it out, slowly. In uniform, Sam leaves his wife on the landing in her robe and runs downstairs. Joanna crouches, holding the lighter. A small opening appears in the wall. She gets up, backing away. An opening appears behind her. She turns to see the shadow of a figure.
Cort?
It's Clint in his welding mask. She turns and runs, crawling through the small hatch. The opening becomes smaller, so she has to crawl on her stomach. She comes to a dead end and looks up frantically, trying to find a way out. She puts her fingers through a gap in the wood above. Clint stands over her, his face pressed against the gap.
Please. Why are you doing this to me?
Like a rat in a maze. Remember?
Clint!
Our child, Joanna. Was it a boy or a girl? I suppose it doesn't matter.
He opens the top, like a lid, and pushes Cortland's lifeless body in. It falls on top of her.
No!
He nails down the lid and pours petrol on the floor. He throws off his jacket. He pours more petrol. He lights a flare and throws it down. Flames shoot up. The house is ablaze. Clint runs out of the front door over to his truck, carrying a shovel. He looks back at the blazing house and sighs. He opens the door of his truck.
Duke.
His dog jumps in. He throws his shovel into the back of the truck next to a large wooden box. He looks at the house once more, then gets in. He drives off into the darkness. A red flashing light. A police car drives up to the house. Sam gets out, putting on his sheriff's hat. Thumbs in his belt, he slowly walks up to the blazing house. He takes off his hat and scratches his head. He goes back to his car, replacing his hat, and reaches in for the radio.
This is Sheriff Beverly. We've got a 904S in progress out on Old Castle Rock Road. Better get the fire department out here.
It's daylight. Firemen in yellow jackets and hard hats dig in the rubble of the house. One trains a hose on the smouldering timber. A fireman carrying an axe takes off his hat and walks over to Sam, who's watching.
Call.
Well, there's nobody in there.
Nobody?
We searched from one end to the other. Nothing. If you're looking for corpses, you're looking in the wrong place.
Sam turns and strides purposefully over to his car. He drives through the cemetery. He parks and walks through the graves. Clint is standing over his grave, which is filled in, leaning on a shovel. Sam stands behind him, taking off his hat, looking down at the fresh earth.
Chilly today. I should have worn my top coat. I came to pay my respects to a friend. He's buried here. Did you know him?
No.
Died last week. Died sudden. I never had a chance to tell him how much our friendship really meant to me.
Maybe he knows.
Carrying the shovel, Clint walks wearily towards his truck without looking at Sam.
Hey, mister!
Clint slowly turns and looks at Sam.
I don't know who you are, but don't come back here. Ever.
Clint nods once, looks down, then turns away. Sam sighs. Clint throws his shovel into the back of his truck and gets in. Holding his hat, Sam looks down at the grave, then turns and walks away, replacing his hat. Under the fresh earth of the grave, in the dark, Joanna lies surrounded by bundles of money. Cortland's corpse next to her, her mouth wide open. The end.